live on the radio, Saturday morning, take two. And my name is Uncle Mark, and here we are with our show called The Children's Earth Count. It's great to have a live audience, because when you do radio, it makes you feel very stimulated and excitable, and I guess you say the right things anyway. So, children, what school do you go to?
Koloa Elementary School.
You heard it first, Koloa Elementary School. And that's a great school on the south part of our island, and we're very lucky, very fortunate to have you coming here today to our radio show on KKCR. We hope that moms and dads and families are out there listening to us and that we can learn something today. We want to learn. And by learning, we can change what we're doing and make the world a better place. Am I right? Yeah, sure. So we have some great special guests today, and I want them to introduce themselves. But first, I was wondering if everybody could just think of their favorite number. Just think of your favorite number, okay? And if you're given a chance to introduce yourself and speak, tell us your favorite number, too. This is called the Children's Earth Count, so numbers are very important. And I know there's a lot of numbers in our show today in cooking and in planting. There's a lot of numbers, so we think about counting. Our special number today is number 7, and 7 is a great number. Why is 7 a great number? Somebody tell me. Yes.
Lucky number 7.
How many days in the week there are?
That's how many days in the week there are, 7 days in the week. What about colors in the rainbow? Yeah, and what about those dwarfs running around Snow White all the time? Yeah, 7 dwarfs. What's another thing that's magical about 7? 7 magical. Yes?
7 kids in her class.
Yeah, 7 unicorns. 7 is a very special number, that's for sure. So today's show is brought to you by the number 7. Now, let's meet our special guests. First, all the way from the South Shore, bringing lots of great things to our show today, and our representative of a great organization, Malama Kauai. Children, can you say Malama Kauai?
Malama Kauai.
Malama Kauai, and our great friend, Tiana Kamen. Tiana, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Hey, aloha kakahiaka, everyone. Good morning. I'm very excited that today's number is 7, because I was actually born on July 7th, which is 7-7, so that is my lucky number too. But I'm very excited to have Koloa School here with us today, because both my brother and I both went to Koloa School, and I've been away from the island for about 6 years, going to the university and traveling around the world, and finally just moved home so I could help support school gardens so that everyone, all the schools on Kauai, can have a place where they can grow their own food and learn about the whole living world that's right in our backyard, and also to try to help and get healthy and local foods into our schools. So I'm excited to be here today and happy that all of you are here too.
Nice, Tiana. Nice introduction. Yeah, I like that when you're talking about your mission. Everybody has a mission. Raise up your hand if you have a mission. Yeah, that's great. Having mission is good, and goals are good too, right? You guys learning about that right now. And we have another special guest. Now, this special guest is a kumu. She is a teacher, and she's a teacher to most all of you. Is that true?
Yes.
All right, and she is Kumu Jeannie. Jeannie, can you tell us about yourself, please?
My name is Jeannie Sturdivant, and as the students know me as Miss Sturdivant at Koloa School, and I teach fifth grade, but in the afternoon, I turn into the cooking instructor, and we have cooking at Koloa School. We've had it for about 3 years now, and it is a favorite after-school program that we have, and this year, in addition to cooking, we're adding a gardening program.
With help from Malama Kauai.
Malama Kauai, and we're just getting that started. And I have students in that program also. I'm very excited. And I'm always excited to see my students. They're great.
She's a cook. She's a gardener. What else? Are you an astronaut?
Not yet.
Yeah. Boy, cooking and gardening, that's big.
Yes.
And teaching.
and teaching.
Yeah.
Teaching the greatest kids ever. Our Kaloa kids are the best.
Raise your hand if you're the greatest kids ever. Go ahead. All right, let's have some applause for this guy. The greatest kids ever. I'm very happy to have you in our studio audience today. Well, we have our good friend from Malama Kauai. We have our good friend from Koloa School. And we want to have some great discussion. And discussion is important because we can learn from talking. And so now what I'm thinking is that some of you children who are in school might be willing to raise up your hand and ask a great question for our special guests to answer. Who would like to go first? All right, the microphone is pointed towards your mouth, and you're going to speak a great question.
Mr. Levant, do you have any safety tips about using knives properly?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. All right, could you repeat the question, please?
Do you have any safety tips about using knives properly, assuming in the garden?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you, Daniel, for that question. That's a great question. When we use knives in the cooking class, we always make sure that we have only one person using a knife on one mat, and we never play with our knives. We always are very serious. So we hand knives with the handle towards somebody, and we're very, very careful with our knives.
What's important to know about a knife?
A knife has a blade that is very sharp, and one end of the blade is not sharp. So we really work toward only using that sharp blade on when we're cutting, of course, and then to use the handles, and then keep them clean is another really important thing.
Right, that's
so important. That because we're making food for a lot of people, and we don't want anyone sick.
Well, I noticed that you children are fifth graders, right? Now, normally you wouldn't say that fourth and fifth graders would be able to handle sharp knives necessarily, but you trust these children to handle knives?
Absolutely. In fact, they by the end of the school year, they'll prepare meals, and I'll just say, oh, would you please prep the bell peppers, and they'll be cut in perfect slivers, perfectly well done every time. They absolutely learn. In fact, they go home and cook with the knives at their homes.
That's great. Well, let's have another question. But in the meantime, let me ask Tiana. Now, knives in the cooking classroom, what about tools in the garden? Do you trust children this age with tools in the garden?
So, I definitely do. I have been in a few gardens with kids about your age and younger. And some of them, you know, some tools need some adult supervision just to be there and help them in the first beginning steps. But as Jeannie was saying, at the end of the semester, every student knows how to cut their broccoli head right off with that sharp knife. And they know how to use every tool in the garden because they learn step by step how to really use their body with these tools that they may be sharp and scary looking. But in fact, they're tools that are made to help you. And once everyone is involved with one and you really are given the opportunity to use one correctly, it becomes a magical tool that I think is a great opportunity for everyone to have.
Children, if you're in the garden or in the cooking class and you have an accident with the knife or maybe you stub your toe with a shovel or something, what should you do? Somebody raise up your hand. What should you do if you get in a tough place with a tool? Yes. Tell an adult. What if there's no adults around? Yeah, you guys. How many of you guys raise up your hand if you've ever had a cut or a sore? Oh, wow, that's like 100%, right? And so you kind of know what to do if you're in a spot like that, right? So I'm sure that you know you would be easy to be around and be able to button that up. Let's have another question. Oh, by the way, our on-site director today is actor Nola Khan. How about some applause for Nola? All right, let's have another question for our special guests.
Why do we eat locally instead of from the mainland?
Oh, let's repeat that question.
Why do we eat locally instead of from the mainland?
Why do we eat locally instead of from the mainland? That's a tough question. Who wants to answer it? Tiana.
I'll take a shot at
it.
Well, there's a few reasons why we want to eat locally in front of the mainland. And one of them is because, let's see, there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
One of them is because we really want to know and understand where our food is coming from. Just like if you grow in your backyard, you know it's growing right there. You know everything that's being put in your soil. You know the hands that are taking care of it and giving all of those vegetables your love. And you know that it hasn't been traveling all across the sea to get here, a far, far way, which uses a lot of energy, such as we've all heard that, you know, having a ship come across the ocean, you have to use a lot of things called fossil fuels. Has everybody heard of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so really, it's important to come back to realize what Hawaii still is in a way, but what we used to be, a society where everybody grew their own food and everybody was very connected to the aina, the land that feeds us.
I have a question that follows that up, which is that why would somebody want to grow a tomato in California, and then put it on a boat and then send the tomato all the way to Hawaii and then take the tomato off the boat and put it in the store? Why wouldn't they want to just walk out into their own backyard and pick a tomato and bring it in the house that way? Why do people do that kind of stuff?
You know, go ahead.
I actually think because it's habit, that we have a habit of going to the grocery store and buying things there, and we don't think about growing the food that we're going to eat. We think about making things, but we don't go look in the garden and then make a recipe. We make a recipe and then go to the store and do it. So we just have to change our thinking a little bit. Our habits a little bit. And, you know, we're not saying we'll never buy anything from the mainland, but we want to buy from local people because it helps our local economy. And I know fifth graders know what that means. It helps the local money. It means your moms and dads are buying from friends and neighbors if they're buying at farmers markets. And if you can't grow it in your yard, then you can go to somebody that you know that's growing that. If you have a lime tree in your yard, you should be using those limes. If you have an avocado tree, you should be using those avocados and sharing them with your neighbors. That's, right. I think, will change.
And even if you go to the supermarket, you can still usually pick out what is local produce.
Absolutely.
And what is from the mainland. Yeah.
Absolutely. And especially if it's grown in Hawaii. Maybe we can't grow on Kauai, but we should think Hawaii, and then the mainland.
Kauai, Hawaii, and then the mainland. Let's all say that together. Kauai,
Hawaii,
and then the mainland. Again. Kauai,
Hawaii,
and then
the mainland.
That's a way that our shopping will help our island to grow and become stronger. Another question from the audience, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, you guys had good questions. It sounds a little bit like you were coached, but everybody needs coaching with questions.
Why do we eat raw food?
Why do we eat? I heard
Why
that.
Do we eat raw food?
Why do we eat raw food? Yeah.
Oh, Kalani, great question. Raw food is food that is not cooked, and that would be like a salad. But raw food is food that has all the nutrients intact, and they will help our bodies grow the best. They also help clean our bodies out, because whatever goes in has to come out the other end, and we want that to happen because that makes us healthier. I know. Isn't that a silly thing? We all like laugh when we talk about that, but that's really true. So we're always thinking eating raw foods, eating healthy local foods to make our bodies grow stronger and to help us be lean and strong human beings.
Raw foods, Miss Tiana? What do you know about raw foods? Why are raw foods important? Why does Malama Kauai want to encourage people to eat raw foods?
Well, I think I like raw and cooked foods a lot. And I think there's a benefit in eating both. And that you have to be careful sometimes eating a lot of raw food because you do have to wash things. But otherwise, raw foods are incredible because they're like the super foods that we have. They have all this energy packed into them and just waiting for us to bite in and have them explode and really give us the energy that it takes to go out and go surfing and takes to go out and go play soccer. So that's why we need the energy that's in the raw food and hasn't been cooked down.
So cooking actually changes the energy that we receive from the food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we cook it for making our taste or make it easier to eat, mm-hmm. but that actually changes the food itself.
Sure. So when you have a raw food, you're getting the most energy that you can from most foods. When you cook something down, you have a little different chemistry going on with the food and don't absorb as much of it in a different way. And then when you have foods that aren't as fresh, like when they're coming from the mainland or Chile or Ecuador, then their nutritious level goes down a whole lot more, and we can't absorb all of that good energy that lets us go out and play.
Great. Wow. Raise your hand if you've ever eaten raw food. Great. Now, some of you children that with your hands up, tell me the name of the raw food that you ate. Poke, yeah.
Celery.
Munch.
Sushi.
Squish.
Papayas
are raw.
Olives.
Ahi.
Mango.
Salads are usually raw, right? Yes.
Carrots.
Lychee. Oh, I love to eat raw lychees. Wow, you guys are making me hungry. You know why? And we do have a great lunch today, and you guys are actually going to help us prepare it. I don't know what it is. I hope it's a combination of all the things that you said. Let's have another question. Over here we have a question.
Why is it better to eat organic than processed food?
Ooh, let's repeat that question.
Why is it better to eat organic rather than processed food? Well, organic food has the lowest amount of pesticides and chemical fertilizers in it, and both of those things take more energy. So when we don't put, we use excess energy, the food is raw, and we grow it, so it's the healthiest for us. So pesticides, we don't want those in our body, and chemical fertilizers, we don't want those in our body. So that's why organic is best.
So organic is best because it's more natural.
Exactly.
And what if somebody puts the name organic on their food? How can you trust that it's really organic? What do people know about the food that makes it more organic?
Well, they have to certify organic food, and certified organic food means there's no genetically modified organisms in it, and it also means there's no processed, there's no chemicals, and there's also no chemical fertilizers in it. So we know that they have to use different means. Some of those farmers have to be very, very smart. They go to school to learn to be organic farmers, and they also help each other in co-ops learning to grow organic foods. So it's really nice because farmers start talking to each other.
Wow. Tiana, what does Malama Kauai want for our organic foods?
Well, for organic foods, I think we just have to make sure we remember. Think of all the trees in your backyard. Think of your avocado trees and your bananas and your papayas. Are any of you spraying any pesticides on those, or are they just growing with the rainwater and the sunshine? Those are organic. So that's something that we need to all remember is organic doesn't always mean a sticker that someone certifies. And that's something that takes money to get the certification. And a lot of the farmers on our island don't have this type of money or the process or the time to go through it. So a lot of times, that's why it's important to know the farmers in your community and go to the farmers market and eat locally, because you know the people who are growing those foods and exactly what they're putting on those foods. So just like you know in your backyard, you're not putting anything on your papayas.
But what if the farmer is growing papayas and then pretty soon all kinds of bugs come in the papayas and are eating the papayas, and the farmer is very worried because the farmer won't be able to sell their papayas, and so they spray some pesticide on their papayas. Is that what you're talking about?
So, well, that a lot of times when food is grown commercially, which means like on big farms, a lot of times they have to use or choose to use things like pesticides because it's an easy way to kill bugs, things like that, kill pests. But when you, a lot of times on Kauai, we have a lot of smaller farms that use integrative pest management. So that's a lot of using different organic ways, such as there's a thing called that we're going to make today with our compost. You can have something such as a compost tea, which has all these micronutrients in it, and you spray those on your papayas, and it helps them grow very strong, and so the pests will not come
in. The plant can actually fight off the pest.
Yes. So
they just drink the tea and they come strong and they can fight pests.
Exactly. So there's many different ways, like keeping our soils healthy, and or even putting a bag over each papaya that will help those sort of things.
Right,
so
right,
that's
right.
Without using those chemicals, so we don't have to put those in our bodies.
Right, great. That's really great. Children, raise up your hand if you yourself are organic. Ooh. And what does being organic mean to you?
Healthier.
I
grow naturally.
She grows naturally, yeah? Yes?
Eat healthier
if you're organic. What else does organic mean to you? Somebody? Yes.
Gives you more energy.
Gives you more energy. You feel better about yourself.
It's not from the store.
Yeah, you don't have to buy everything you eat and grow from the store. You can eat from your friend's garden, your garden. I have people stopping by all the time. I have the greatest mango tree in all of Hanapepe, ladies and gentlemen. And I got lots of friends that stop by and enjoy it. And they're all organic. They even have worms that are organic inside of them. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, now, I know you have a couple more questions. And let's look at our tech guy up in the booth and say, Uncle Dave, how much time do we have left for our show? 30 more minutes. That's great. We've got some time to ask some more questions. And we want to answer the riddle, too, that we ask you. Auntie Nola, can you find some more great questions?
Yes.
Is there anything you have to do before you start cooking?
Oh, like preparation.
Is there anything you have to do before we start cooking?
Well, I know this audience knows that answer because they cook with me. So what's the first thing we do before we start cooking? All of you, can you say it together when I say three? One, two, three.
Wash your hands.
Absolutely. And, you know, when they come into cooking club, that's the first thing they do. They wash their hands. They use nail brushes and soap, and they rinse their hands and dry them on a single paper towel because we're trying to be kind to the environment, even using our paper towels. But that, they are great at washing their hands, and that makes our food safe, so we're not passing any bacteria or illnesses along to each other.
Well, that's a great answer. And Auntie Tiana, do you encourage gardeners to wash their hands before they go in the garden?
Yes, I think that gardeners should wash their hands before they go into the garden because plants are sensitive too. But also after the garden when you're handling all of the vegetables.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, washing our hands, it's so important, right? We can't see some of the problems that we encounter when we have bacteria and things on our hands. We can get sick from other people and those kinds of things. We have a special guest who just walked in the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, would you turn to your left and welcome Uncle Jerry. Let's give him some applause. Yeah, he doesn't like to be on the spotlight, but hey, it's Uncle Jerry that helped us to make our radio show happen here at Storybook Theater. Thank you, Uncle Jerry. Thank you very much. All right, how about another question before a couple of magical things happen? All right. Another question from our children at Koloa Elementary School who are here today for our special live radio show. Go ahead, brother.
What's the protein in a salad?
Ooh, that's a good one.
What's the protein in a salad?
What's the protein in a salad? People think about they need protein in their body to keep their energy high. What's that protein come from in a salad?
Well, often you can combine different things and they make complementary protein, so you get all the amino acids. Amino acids are what make up protein. So in a salad, if you add nuts, it also is a monofat, which is good for our bodies and actually cleans our blood cells and cleans our tubes in our body, the blood vessels. And then the other thing is you can add maybe a little bit of cheese, like feta cheese, which is my students' one of their best favorites. And you can also add grains like quinoa. Quinoa is a complete protein all by itself. So you don't have to always think lettuce when you think salad. You can actually use grains to make salads.
greens to make salads. Wow, that's very interesting. I personally have never tried that myself, putting greens. But you think about a salad as, I think you think that a salad is like a whole meal. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. We eat salads as whole meals at school all the time.
Wow.
And trying to train our students to think of it that way. In fact, we're trying to train our cafeteria to think of that way, which is a big thing. My students think that they should take all our recipes and make them and make that the lunches at school.
Oh. And tell me, Tiana, from a Lama Kauai's point of view, how are you going to encourage school cafeterias to use more organic or locally grown, or how are you going to do that?
So there's a bunch of different facets, different ways to approach this. Working in the public schools, unfortunately, is a little harder because we are all one big district. Hawaii is one whole district, and they all have to focus on the same laws and ways to prepare the food. So first, we might be starting with the public schools using more after-school cooking classes and gardening cooking classes so you can still have that good, nutritious food. But with the independent schools and the charter schools are going to be starting a few different pilot programs. And they're all different types of pilot programs. So one of them, we're going to be purchasing food from local farms and working with the cafeteria managers to be able to cook that food in a certified kitchen. Some of the other schools, like Kunui Kapono in Anahola, are going, their goal, it might be a few years down, but their end goal is to grow all of their food that they need for their cafeteria and then prep it there on site. So our schools on Kauai are at all different stages in getting ready to purchase local foods for the school lunches, and also just trying to switch the menus. As all you were saying, maybe we should have salads and all the foods you cook in your after-school cooking classes in the menus. Really trying to get along with our cafeteria staff and work together and trying to make lunchtime the best time of the day, one of them.
It is. It's for me. It's the best time of the day. And children, I'm going to be bringing a friend out pretty soon. You probably know this guy. He is a rooster. And he enjoys lunchtime actually almost all day long. And he wants to ask some questions of you, too. But thank you for that answer. That's good, because it means that each of the schools on our island has its own lunch program, and we're all trying to encourage each other to work together towards using locally originated food, right? That's so important for us. And, you know, just because we say the word organic, that doesn't mean it's a vegetable. You can have an organic milk. You could have organic meat. You can have organic chicken. You can have lots of different organic things that you eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah. So you don't have to go about changing your diet in a great big way to eat organic, great organic food. All right, Miss Nola, I think there's one more question out there somewhere. I think one more question. All right, Bretta has a question.
What's healthier for you, proteins or vegetables?
Oh, what's healthier for you, proteins or vegetables?
Excellent question.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're getting us thinking there. That's a good one.
Okay, so actually both of those are healthy for you, and it's not one or the other. We need both in our diet. And actually vegetables can make protein, which a lot of people don't know. They think meat first or fish. But actually, grains and vegetables together can make a complementary protein, which actually helps us eat closer to the food chain. We want to eat bottom to the bottom of the food chain, which is grasses first, and then the things that eat grasses. So if we eat close to the bottom of the food chain, we save energy, and it's actually the best for our body. But, you know, fish protein is good for us, and chicken, but we have to have vegetables too. So it's sort of a balance. It's not one versus the other. So that's sort of an interesting comment, because when you think it's not one or the other, sometimes we, you know, there's nothing wrong with meat. We just try to, if we can eat Kauai raised beef, we're better off. If we can eat Kauai catfish, we're better off, because then we're using the energy right here in our, and helping the people that raise those. So I think that's what we have to think always, local, local, local.
Yeah, local, local, local. That's not that hard. Maybe we should say that, okay? Three locals in a row. One, two, three. Local. Again.
Local.
Yeah, local. You could say it fast three times, like toy boat. All right. Now, I'm wondering, do we have any more special questions from the audience? All right. Okay. But if a question occurs to you, please feel free to say it. I don't know if you guys saw over there by the cases, Russell just came in off the street, the door opened. He's in the studio somewhere. So I've got to catch him. I mean, you can't just trust that a rooster is going to sit down in a chair and start talking and acting like a person. So you guys are going to have to let me get up out of my chair and actually nail down that rooster in my arms, and I'm going to have to catch him. And then I would like it if you guys have a great question for the rooster himself, because then that way he feels more at home. Would you all make me a promise that you're not going to grab him? How many of you boys or girls have ever chased chickens? Holy smokes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about 95.35% of this audience has chased chickens. Well, that's all right. I'm sure chickens don't mind. How many of you guys actually caught the chicken that you... Oh, whoa, now that's a pretty good percentage there, too. Yeah, Mr. Town, I think we need a new sport here on the island, chicken chasing and that kind of thing. Well, work that up for us there. All right, guys, thank you. Well, this chicken, I'm the chaser, I'm the getter, and he's a talking rooster. He's been talking for a long time. He's 19 years old. Did you guys know that? Russell is actually 19 years old. He's going to have some fun with us today. I wanted to ask you the answer to my riddle before I bring out the rooster. And if Russell's hungry, would you guys do me a favor and pretend that you brought something? He doesn't know the difference between pretending and real. So if you guys hold up your hand like this, he thinks that you have brought him something to eat. And he'll peck around at it. So if he asks you, I don't know if he will, but if he asks you, if you wouldn't mind pretending to feed him, that makes him feel a lot better. Now, ladies, don't give up here. Now, we want you to talk some more here, but I think it's important to bring the rooster out at some point because he might have something important to say that nobody's said yet. So would you guys just kind of keep things going on the radio show here while I chase that chicken down? Hey, Russell, come here. Russell, hey, get back here.
Russell, we were talking about vegetables. We weren't talking about eating you.
Ooh. Well, I do have a question, though. Are you organic?
How's it, everybody?
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, I'm so happy to be here in the studio again, ladies and gentlemen. Did y'all meet my right-hand man?
Yes.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, but he's taller than me, and he knows how to catch me. And hey, how Auntie Tiana, how's it?
How's it?
Auntie Jeannie, how's it? Wow. Hey, look at all these people inside Storybook Theater. Unbelievable. And hard to believe. Hey, I heard you guys was talking about gardening and cooking. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you know that chickens know how to cook? We do. Yeah, all we do is move the bug from the fruit to the sunny place, and he cooks. That's right. And there's nothing like a good cooked worm. I love worms. That's my favorite. Auntie, you guys brought some worms for us.
We did.
All right, I'm going to eat worms later on. I'm really excited. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, Uncle told me something to tell you guys. Go ahead, Uncle. Russell, yeah, I know. Okay, all right. Okay. All right. All right. Jeez. Well, you know, I mean, how many of you guys have picked up and held a rooster in your arms before? Okay, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes those guys, they just want to squirm around, but you got to hold on tight and make sure. Now, do you know how to put them to sleep?
Yes.
No, no, please don't put me to sleep. I'm having a great time. Don't put me to sleep, please.
Yes.
Now, don't worry, Russell. We're not going to put you to sleep, but, you know, you cover the rooster's eyes, right? Yeah, and then just hold him tight or turn the wing and cover him up like this. And then you sing him a little lullaby, right? So we'll have to do that later on. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to ask some great questions for our special kind guests. First of all, I would like to ask my friend Kumujini all about cooking for chickens. How's about it, Auntie? Do you ever really just cook for chickens?
I cook chicken, but not cook for chickens.
Well, we don't mind because, hey, there's plenty more of us where those came from, okay? And don't worry about it. There's more moa all around. In fact, if you guys grow up, don't forget the occupation of becoming a great chicken farmer, okay? Chickens got to grow, too. So you eat us, huh?
Yeah, but I love your eggs.
Yeah,
not your eggs, but your hen's eggs.
Certified organic, that's for sure. So what should I be telling all the children about cooking and gardening, Auntie?
Eat organic and eat local and make sure that the eggs are from around here, like Kauai Farms and all the lovely little blue eggs that they have. They have great blue eggs.
Blue eggs, green eggs, yellow eggs. Eggs are the best. Yeah. Raise your hand if you guys came from an egg. What? Nobody came from an egg. All right, brother. I knew somebody here had come from an egg. Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. It's the guys that come from eggs are the best. That's for sure. All right. And now, Auntie Tiana,
yes.
You came from an egg, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you did. Right. Okay. And let's see. What else can I ask you? Oh, yeah. When the children are preparing their own dinner or snack, what should they be thinking about except how great the snack is tasting? What else should they think about?
I think that maybe something you could think about is where that food that you're eating came from. Did you grow it? Did your neighbor grow it? Or did it come all the way from South America? Just think about it. Maybe kind of interesting. Makes the food taste better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And that's good. And I understand, Auntie Tiana, that today you are going to be our worm lady, right?
Yes.
For real? You're our worm lady. Yeah. How about a hand for her, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, worm lady. Yeah. Hey, how many of you guys enjoy sucking up a worm once in a while? Raise your hands. Unbelievable. We do, ladies and gentlemen. In the studio audience, we have two young guys who do enjoy worms like myself. In fact, I was wondering, you guys brought something for me for eat today?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm going to take a break, guys. Don't mind me. I'm going to talk to the children. Okay. In the studio audience, because they brought me something for eat. First of all, I'm going to turn it over to Uncle Mark for a second because he asked you guys one riddle today. So I was wondering, go ahead, Uncle Mark, take it away. Well, thanks, Russell. I was just wondering, did any of you guys have any idea when I recited my poem about who the poem was about? It's a riddle. Raise up your hand if you think you might know who that poem was about.
A tree
is an answer. She will bring the buds in the spring. What's your idea?
That it's Mother Nature.
It's Mother Nature. The riddle was maybe about Mother Nature. What's your idea, Rene?
That it was fresh.
It was fresh? A fresh poem? Mm-hmm. What was your idea? The earth. Actually, yeah, you're all right. because the name of the poem is called The Earth Mother Song. It's about Mother Earth herself, who helps us all the time. Russell? No! Russell, stop that! Kumujini does not have bugs in it. Russell, no! No! Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, you know how chickens are. They go for bugs any place, any time of the day or the night. No, not the night. They don't go for bugs at night. So I'm wondering, Russell and I are wondering if there is anyone here who's brought Russell something organic to eat, and you have to tell us what it is that's organic in your hand, and Russell is going to go for broke, because I understand that you're pretty hungry, Russell. Me, I'm always hungry. I don't know what it is, but I love to eat. Eating is my favorite thing, and I have been known to eat centipede. All right, better. Oh, you get something. Oh, what was that?
Organic worms.
Organic worms, very spicy, very tasty. And you know, there's nothing like the feeling of a worm sliding down your throat, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. I understand you guys like ice cream, right? It's kind of like that feeling when you're eating ice cream. For me, for a chicken, to swallow a nice worm feels like that. All right, who else brought something more for me to eat? Okay, say your name.
Renee.
Renee, and what did you bring to me that's organic? An organic lollipop? Oh, yeah. Made from pure cane sugar, right? That's really good. How about you, bro? What you brought from me?
Organic apple.
Organic apple. Ooh, and there's a worm in there, too. Thanks. Thanks for thinking of me. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, Russell.
Russell, stop that. Don't do that, Russell. I told you. I don't want you looking in children's hair for bugs, even if they're organic. right on. And, oh my goodness, two girls have something for me to eat that's organic. How about you, Kale? What did you bring me?
Organic carrots.
Organic carrots. I love organic carrots. Would you mind if I crunch just a little bit? How about you, Halia? What did you bring me? Oh, what do I want? Nothing really. Oh, of course what I want is a big, juicy, fat bug. The one that's crawling up your arm. Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I don't know where she got that bug from. Brada, what'd you get for me, Keegan?
Centipede.
A centipede. You brought a centipede here for me. Is it certified organic?
Yeah.
And get protein, too?
I think.
All right. Just put them in your pocket, and then after the show, I'll enjoy them with you. Okay, I even share, too. Well,
we got to ID the station.
Oh, ID the station. Uh-huh. Oh, the station ID. Well, we want to thank our good friends who helped to make our show possible on KKCR. In partnership with their great underwriters and sponsors, our show is made possible on KKCR Radio Children. And how about saying the name of the radio station that we are looking for, KKCR? One, two, three.
KKCR.
One, two, three. KKCR. That's right, KKCR. I'm not exactly sure what it stands for. Maybe Kauai Community Public Radio. Well, I know Uncle and I, we're kind of feeling tired, and we're really ready for your cooking show, which is next, that we're going to go see. So, Tiana, how would you like to say thank you here at the end of our show? Thank you from Malama Kauai. Would you like to say us a thank you?
Sure. On behalf of Malama Kauai and the School Garden Network, I want to thank all of you keikis at Koloa Elementary School for coming out, as well as Kumujini and all of their parents who are here in the live audience as well. And mahalo for KKCR and Mark and Russell at Storybook Theater for hosting us here, helping this happen.
Thank you. Wow. How about a round of applause for that nice thank you? And Kumujini, what would you like to say at the end of our show for thank you?
Thank you, KKCR, for hosting us and Storybook Theater. And Russell, it was wonderful meeting you. I will make sure that we only feed you and not eat you. And thank you very much, all the Colosso students and parents, for supporting us and coming out today, because we know Colosso School rocks.
Woo! Rocks. That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, from myself, Mark Jeffers, and all of our crew here at a live radio show audience, all big, big, big mahalo nui loa, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for coming.